In this episode of What the Prophets Say, join me, Emma Stark and Mr. Sam Robertson, as we continue our mini-series. This is session two on the prophetic, and we look at the need to keep prophesying extensively over individuals. God needs your voice. Join us for this episode of What the Prophets Say. Hello, loyal listeners, and welcome to another episode of What the Prophets Say with me, Emma Stark, and Sam Robertson. We are delighted that you are lending us your ears, and I hope more than your ears, but yeah. We'll start with your ears. We're not to tickle your ears, but we are here to put the word of the Lord in robustly that it might transform your life. But we appreciate that you give time to this, and we are back in the studio, coffee, water, cakes have been consumed. Although you don't like sweet things.
Well, yes, although confession, since marrying Bella, because she loves sweet things. But I don't know if it's a wife thing or if it's a Bella thing. She likes to share a dessert.
Oh, yes.
I hadn't quite realised this, and sharing a dessert is a big deal, and thou shall not refuse sharing a dessert.
Oh, well done, so Bella.
I've shared a few, still not my favourite, but I am partial to the occasional dessert now.
Well, now, what would you go for if like Bella's choosing and you're like, oh, don't choose that, but choose that. What would you go for?
Nothing cakey. I don't like anything like, I don't know.
Like a carrot cake or a chocolate cake or a red velvet cake.
Yeah, nothing like that. It's too dense. I like a creme brulee or something like that. Or what's the coffee one?
Tiramisu.
Yeah, I don't mind that.
You can get those done horrendously.
Yeah, you can get horrendous.
Yeah,
tiramisus.
You see, I don't like damp sponge.
But that's what I mean. Like, if it's really...
It has to be nicely done. Yeah, yeah, they put ladyfinger biscuits in that, don't they? But they do just nod and smile. Yes, yeah. Having made a few tiramisus in my life. I actually just saw a recipe for a pistachio tiramisu. Oh,
if you made something pistachio, that is my new obsession. Anything pistachio flavoured. Sorry, I'm getting excited now. We went to the most epic hotel for our honeymoon, and they did so many pistachios. In Mauritius, pistachios are popular, and they did so much pistachio desserts, and it was the best time of my life.
Well, it was your honeymoon, but then, yes. I'm glad the food was good as well.
It was.
But you know what I just had, talking of pistachios, in Copenhagen in Denmark, David and I had a half kind of day off while we waited for the aeroplane home, and we went down the walking street. Yeah. It's literally called the walking street, but in Danish. We had pistachio croissants.
Were they good?
Yes. Mm. So like a pistachio, you know, like an almond crust, you get the almond paste in it, but like a frangipane in the middle of it. But this was like a pistachio cream down the middle. Very, very good.
Yeah, I'd like that.
Yeah. However, the best pastry I had 2 weeks ago, the best pastry I have ever had was in Amsterdam in the Netherlands.
Yes,
yeah. Louise Reed and I went in to shop. Oh, my PA is jumping around the other side of the glass. That was with me because she took us there. She's like, what did I have, Suzanne? I'm told you. I think it was an almond croissant I had. I think it was the best I'd ever tasted. Where now she's doing the thumbs up behind the glass. We're going to call them the class.
Yeah.
Behind the glass.
The class behind the glass.
The class behind the glass. And that's Todd, producer Todd, broadcast manager Roz, and my PA Suzanne.
There we go.
They're laughing, but we can't hear what they're saying. I hope we've introduced them right. The class behind the glass. Anyway, so, but it sounds like we're just obsessed with food, but good pastries are a delight.
Yeah, they are a delight. They are. Hard to come by.
Good ones are hard to come by. Yeah, flaky pastries. Good. I don't make pastry. Nobody's got time for that.
No way.
Have you ever made pastry?
Oh, no. Have you? How the length of time?
Faff. It's a total faff. Pre-bought pastry.
Always.
Yeah, I buy a fair amount of puff pastry to make gâteaux and tarts with. Yeah. Anyway. Now that we have sorted out the world with pistachio, I hope you're not too hungry with puff pastry. We're on a bit of a mini series, and we're certainly doing three in a row around the prophetic and a real call to arms and a call to action. And last time we were in this, the, I suppose, semi-rebuking to ourselves as much as to anybody else. If the caliber of the prophetic word is not there, then you've got nothing to fight or to war over. And if the word is not good enough to fight over, what is the point of it being released in the first place? Yeah. If it's an ego massage word, or it's make me look good in front of my pals type word, what is the point? But Sam, this is quite serious. Mm-hmm. I was reading the Word of God about, is it 3-4 weeks ago? I've lost track of time, certainly at the beginning of 2024. And I was thinking about what I would preach at start the year, right? And I find myself back in Ezekiel 37, which is a very well-worn, very well-known scripture, is Ezekiel and the Valley of the Dry Bones. And I had a moment, I think almost it's a once in a lifetime moment. Come on, listeners, this is really important. A once in a lifetime moment of revelation in Ezekiel 37. Now, Phil Sanderson, my dear friend who pastors in Aberdeen, he says it's the most important word he thinks I've prophesied in a decade.
Wow.
So it's of that level of understanding. And we're, you and I and the team here, are just sitting in it and trying to wrestle with it.
Yeah.
It's a word of direction and movement, and uplifting of the prophetic movement worldwide into another era.
Come on.
So if I've done in any way a good job, you'll be able to give me the introduction to just putting you on the spot.
Absolutely.
But it's interesting to hear it through your voice. And then we'll see as we wrestle together where we are with it. So on your marks.
Get set,
Sam.
Go. So a bit of history into the word that kind of takes us on a journey to what is ahead. Bishop Bill Hammon, hero of the prophetic movement, father of the prophetic movement, launched probably the reintroduction of prophets and prophecy into the world. And he's the guy who would have lined up entire rooms of hundreds of people and given them personal prophetic words. Anybody who prophesies and anybody who has any level of significant prophetic ministry will be able to somehow acknowledge Bishop Bill Hammon and what he birthed.
So we're talking, 50, 60 years ago.
And the first wave of prophets, first wave of prophecy, his son, Tim Hammon, maybe about 5 years ago, maybe more.
Maybe more, Tim would be maybe now in his 60s, I would have thought.
So kind of 5 to 10 years ago, started to prophesy about the second portion, second wave, second breath of the prophetic movement.
I think he might have called it the second wind.
And others like Barbara Yoder and others like Cindy Jacobs were prophesying the same thing. And so really they get this from Ezekiel 37.
So can we just say there's been wave one or first breath or second breath, first wind, second wind. So two stages of the worldwide prophetic movement
up until now.
In our last kind of 2-3 generations since the restoration of the prophetic movement. And remember that the prophetic movement had to be restored, because in the Reformation 500 years ago plus, there was a real sense of a dishonoring, I think just not an understanding that there needed to be prophecy and prophets. So you do get a lot of truth, but you also get spiritual sterility with that. You get a sense of impotence in the prophetic word, because it's just not given a place or a value. So you're almost living under the cloak or the hood of the Reformation, which is giving a value for salvation by faith, which is giving a value for the centrality of the cross and Christ. But there's no value for really the work of the Spirit or the work of the revelation at all. So by the time Bishop Bill turns up with wave one, and then his son, Dr. Tim, prophesies wave two, we are in waters, shallow waters, because there had been no revelation for years. This really matters where we are now. Hit us with it,
Ezekiel. So Ezekiel 37, you have the first wave, 7 to 8, in verses 7 to 8. So that first introduction of prophets and of prophecy, birthed by Bishop Bill Hammond, and then taken throughout the world, mainly about personal prophecy, call-outs, prophetic presbytery is the phrase some of you will have heard. And it says this, so I prophesied, I was commanded, and as I was prophesying, there was a noise and a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. So you see this first breath, which is about form. There is a form of prophets and prophecy that's valuable. And so that is where that took us up to those 3 decades, 30 years. You then have in verse 10, the introduction of the second wind, the second breath.
So this is Ezekiel being told to prophesy a second time to the same army.
And it says, so I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. And this is the military mindedness of the prophets and of the prophetic movement. And you who have been journeying with us for some time know that we love this stuff. Mm-hmm. It's the nitty gritty of tearing down the kingdoms of darkness and planting the kingdom of God. It is about spiritual warfare. It is that when you prophesy, things get destroyed and the kingdom gets built. That understanding comes. So form and function, we see these in the first and second breath. Now, actually, they are brilliant things, both.
I mean, it's almost taken half a lifetime for most of us to wrestle with those two breaths. And so the first breath is, oh, I can prophesy. Yeah. And you are looking for a sense of the widespread value of the prophet. You're palatable. It's entry level. It's about personal ministry.
Find the gold.
You're avoiding danger. You're avoiding timings. Yeah. You're avoiding judgment. You're avoiding shaking. It's all in relatively shallow, but very necessary waters. You can't get into the deep waters unless you go through the shallow waters. So we don't reject, or as the word of God would say, you don't despise the day of small beginnings because it's the door that opens. So it's this individual words, endless, and we train there. You and I train there, endless individual words, growing the muscle, encouraging the bride, personal demonstrations, lots and lots of that for decades.
Absolutely.
And I remember, I mean, how many of you, we would prophesy well into the small hours of the morning because it was
all day, every day,
just personal ministry.
It was all we ever knew about prophecy in many regards. The thought of a national word or a word to the masses was way off in the distance.
Yes, it was really that prophecy was given to secure the individual.
Absolutely, always.
Prophecy secured the person, that you were outworking a focus on individual blessing.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, you would have people in the early days who would fast and pray to come to receive a personal word. And then they would receive the personal word with fear and trembling. I remember prophets preaching in those days. Maybe some of you listeners do too. They would spend hours teaching you how to receive your personal word because nobody had ever really got one before.
Absolutely.
So you fast, pray, receive, you go and you write it out, you diligently weigh it and test it. And decades of that. And you and I, we reckon, have done probably about 30,000 hours of personal prophetic ministry.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And that's where we trained. That's what we trained in.
Yes.
We taught people and still do the value for that. And when you hear this first, second, third, you need all of the breaths as we continue. So it's not that there's not a value for that anymore, but there's added aspects of it. But this is, I actually think this is where God trusts you with his voice.
Yes.
When he can trust you with an individual. And just as an aside, lots of people say, you know, how can I level up in prophecy? How can I come to a greater level? You know, you and Emma, or you guys prophesy so accurately, or you prophesy with such weight.
Mm-hmm.
I think we would personally cite it to the decade plus of, for here, when we were Glasgow Prophetic Centre, prophetic checkups of the hours and hours and hours of the giving of personal words.
I think the giving of the personal words, because now we're looking at breath 2 and breath 3, and this was in the first breath, there is a sense that I watch some folk, not everybody. I just want to get to the big platform. Yeah. I just want to get to the, you know, the net. I want to get, and actually what I watch, if you miss the rigors of, I'm going to prophesy form, which is form, function, and then awakening of the army. But the first stage, the you know, find the gold stuff. You lose the capability to love.
Absolutely.
Because when you are faced with hundreds and hundreds of individuals, they will, if you don't find the right attitude, drain you and wear you out.
Totally.
And it forces your heart to choose to love people well, that they are worthy of investment, yeah, of your time. And the sense of, I want to use people to get to where I want to go, versus I'm going to go through the rigors of the discipline of hours of personal prophetic ministry. And I still find great joy in it. I'll give you an example. I was in wherever I was, somewhere in mainland Europe. And again, we had a couple of hours. We dashed into have a wee bit of a look around the city. And we were overseas, and we'd find a lovely jewelry shop.
Of course.
And of course, priorities. And
accidentally.
No, very deliberately.
Yeah.
It wasn't an accidental find, it was a deliberate find. Hit the earrings and the necklace I'm wearing over there. Anyway, walk in, and I'm with Louise Reed and with Suzanne. And really, we're just bobbing along, chatting about jewelry. But the Spirit of the Lord rose up in me for personal prophetic ministry. Mm. And as soon as I felt that urgency to minister to the shop assistant, the shop emptied. I saw an angel guard that was very busy. To be fair, it may have been my third or fourth trip to this jewelry shop over the years. So I know how busy it is. And an angel of the Lord stood at the door so that the shop was not, I could see it. And I'm thinking, oh, The God has curated a moment. I need to be vigilant here. The word came up out of me like a machine gun of passionate liberation and love for this woman. She's wailing. She's coughing up her demons. I'm like, come out from behind that counter. I'm laying hands on her. She's literally doing deliverance ministry with me there on the spot, falling in love with Jesus. The word, Lord, you trained to be an interior designer. You have never used the fullness of this. You got rejected in your early teens. I mean, it was so specific to her life. How could she not fall in love with Jesus? But the joy for me in that of, I love that thing of finding somebody and just bringing that first breath of putting form back into the shape of God and introducing them to the person of Jesus. And it was so easy.
Absolutely. It doesn't have to be hard. You know, the amount of times I'll be in a room ministering, and it often happens when God says at the end of this, I want you to prophesy over as many people as you can. And I think, really? Because that can sometimes be...
It's draining. It can be very tiring.
It can be draining.
Yeah.
But I did it recently and found such an energy of the Spirit that came up in me. And it was partly God saying, I need you to do this because it's how you're trusted. Actually, if you don't do this, then I can't trust you with more revelation. But there's a sharpness, even more than just the fun of it. It brings a sharpness to you when you have to deal with different people, different situations. When you prophesy over countless amounts of individual lives, you're dealing with countless amounts of dangers or crisis or issues or
pains, their anointings.
And you need to find a way to articulate the Spirit of God and to articulate what you're seeing and feeling and sensing in a way that leads people helpfully into their future, and it keeps you sharp.
It does. The discipline of personal ministry cannot ever be lost, I don't think, from that. And of course, that was what Bishop Bill Hammond and actually the Kansas City prophets as well. They were active at the same time in a slightly different stream in the USA. And most of the prophecy that we were trained in was either from Bishop Bill and Christian International or from the Kansas City guys. And that, of course, massively influential around the world.
Absolutely.
So number one, if you missed the first breath and you've not got the rigors of finding people to prophesy over, you have to get it back.
Yeah.
Now, I think we can get lazy. Oh, I don't have a platform. I don't have a space. You just find people and you just minister to them, you know, like wherever it happens to be, the jewelry shop, the whatever. The other one I did, I actually prophesied over somebody. What night would it have been? What day is it today, Sam?
Wednesday.
It's Wednesday. And I was, it was Saturday night, very late. I come back to the hotel after ministering very, very late. And I was, you know, you're long day, tired. And there was somebody in the lobby and the Spirit of God was like, you need to minister. And you know that way you're going, oh man, really? And David and I just got hold of them.
Wow.
And they at the reception, it was the receptionist and this guy and David and I, 12 minutes, because I said, get your phone out. I'm going to tell you what God says.
Wow.
The person was stunned whether they wanted it or not. They were quite obedient. They got it. A total moment of a life change in the foyer of the hotel reception late at night. And that kind of I don't need to be invited or in ministry
or
mode.
Or something formalized.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, they then find me on Facebook or Insta, I think, and they've written a comment to us of how it's changed their world.
Wow.
This kind of drive-by approach to
prophecy.
Mm. Yeah.
So even as we talk about the next breaths, what you need to hear is you never graduate from personal prophetic ministry. God trusts you with more revelation, with higher levels of revelation, but you never graduate from it. You never become superior than personal prophetic ministry.
Yeah. I think we're going to leave you on a cliff edge of that, of the need to get into the rhythm of that first breath. And next session, we're going to dive into breath two and breath three. Breath three, nobody has spoken about publicly before, as far as we know. And so we're a wee bit rattled.
Yeah, we are.
And we're still trying to wrestle, you know, this revelation. But the first breath is that you individually demonstrate the kingdom of God in somebody's life.
Come on.
And that you make the prophetic accessible and you encourage and raise up and create the horizon line in people's lives. If you still have that as a theory, now is the day to speak out loud. I will become a greater practitioner of this. And even as I'm wrestling, as is my call, words over nations, I still find the thrill of a late night reception prophecy or a jewelry shop prophecy, even in the last 10 days, knowing that I can change a nation, but I still don't lose the skill of changing an individual by love. And my concern, hear me well, is if you don't get this, I don't think you learn the art of loving people well.
Mm, there it is. Wow.
Whoa. That's a cliffhanger.
Yeah.
You've got homework, my friends. First breath, Ezekiel 37, putting prophetic form in your life. Well, thank you for joining us. Join us again for the next episode of What the Prophets Say. Thank you for listening to this episode of What the Prophets Say with me, Emma Stark. If you would like to go deeper with us, you would be very welcome to join our network, the Global Prophetic Alliance. You can find that at propheticscots.com, where we have a comprehensive training program to lead you into deeper realms of the Spirit of God and encounter. If you feel a call in the pull to deliverance ministry, you can download my latest e-course, which is a comprehensive overview of getting people free from demonic oppression. You'll find that at demonbusting.com. Join us on these different platforms for more interaction with Emma Stark, Sam Robertson, and the GPA team.